Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Not so long ago, country schools dotted the Marion County landscape. When did they close? Why did they close? And what were they like? Let's go in depth with Helen Borchi, author of When One Room Fit All, The Country Schools of Marion County, Iowa. So Helen, congratulations, your book is out.
Thank you, I'm glad it's out.
You've been working on it for a long time?
Yeah, I started in the spring of 2008, so it's about 4 years in the making.
Well, that's not that long for all that historical research.
Well, it took quite a while to find where it was. The first thing I did was to locate the names of the teachers. I found that the official records were no longer in the superintendent's office in the county seat because they haven't been there for years. They've been in the AEA office. And so I had to drive to Newton day after day after day to copy these records of the teachers that taught.
Well, tell people the title of your book.
When One Room Fit All, The Country Schools of Marion County, Iowa.
And so you talk about all of the schools of Marion County?
All the ones that I could find records for.
And so, how many was that?
145.
145 schools.
Mm-hmm.
And now what do we have? One, two, three,
We don't have any country schools.
We don't have any country
schools. No, there are no country schools in Marion County.
We have like six schools.
We have
not country schools.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
Wow. So we've gone from that large number to small.
Right.
It's all in our towns and cities.
Yes.
All right. So what's the story to tell about them? What's interesting to tell?
Well, it's just an era when there were many little communities, and the country school is kind of what held these communities together. The other thing that held them together was that they shared work equipment on the farm. And every student that I ever talked to thought their school was probably the best school. And every student has a little different story to tell about what happened to them in country school. So it was just fun to interview these people and find out what they had to say.
And you went to a country school.
I did.
Which school did you go to?
I went to North Porterville School, and this was a school that's southeast of Pella. There's a big Porter Grove Cemetery out in that area. And there was also a South Porterville School when I first started. But by the time I got to about fifth grade, there were so few students in North Porterville and South Porterville that they were combined into one.
Did you ever teach at a country school?
No, I never taught it. Well, actually, I taught when I was a student in the country school because country school teachers are very busy. And if they had a student that wasn't doing well in reading, they would sometimes put the older students to work teaching that child how to read. So I did a lot of that.
So when did all of our schools get consolidated?
Well, in 1958, they were all supposed to consolidate. But some of them had extensions, and they didn't consolidate until the early 60s.
And so the purpose behind it?
Well, I think that a lot of people thought that the students were not getting as good an education in a country school as they did in a town school, and that's not true. The other thing was that farm families were getting smaller, and so there simply weren't enough students in a district to support a school.
Okay, so cost concerns?
Right.
Okay, my dad went to a country school.
Did he?
Yeah, not here, but north a little bit.
Uh-huh. Did he talk to you about that?
Well, we used to tease him a little bit about the little school because we could drive by it and still see it. And we just couldn't comprehend that anybody would go to such a little school. But he loved it. He really enjoyed it.
I think I only talked to a couple of people that didn't appreciate going to country school. Otherwise, everybody else seemed to love country school. Country schools were fantastic if you had good teachers. If you happened to have a poor teacher that just didn't know how to teach, that could be really put you behind in your learning. But with country schools, every teacher has to do so much and be so organized that there weren't too many teachers that were poor that stayed very long in a country school. It was just too difficult for them to keep up with the work.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Helen Borchi, author of When One Room Fit All, The Country Schools of Marion County, Iowa. Now, who paid the country school teachers? Was that a state thing, a township thing? How did that work?
Well, the district paid some of it, and then I understand that the county paid a certain amount to each country school, too.
And so was it all grades in one room?
All grades in one room. If there happened to be, you know, students in all grades. Sometimes you wouldn't have all grades. It just depended on the age of the children that were in the district. But you could have as many as 9 different grades because you had primary and then first through eighth.
How can one teacher teach 9 grades with, I presume, 20 to 30 students?
Well, you have to be very organized. And I've seen some of the books and they list, you know, 5 minutes for this subject and 10 minutes for this subject. And you wouldn't teach every subject every day. I don't think it was as difficult to teach the actual material as it was to get organized and make sure you got all of these things in, because I remember our textbooks, our social studies textbook would probably have about 5 pages of reading, and that would be followed by 5 questions, and then we would go back to our seats, and it was called seat work when you sat at your desk.
Seat work,
yes. You sat at your desk, and you answered those questions, and so you were on your own doing that, and then when you got through with that, you could read a library book, or you could be helping somebody else, or you could just be listening to the teacher and the students that were at the recitation bench. So you didn't have to spend an hour like I did when I taught biology, making sure you had an hour's preparation for one particular lesson. And no lesson had to take too much time for the teacher.
So it was fast moving.
It was very fast moving, yes.
For the students as well?
Well, if you knew how to entertain yourself between lessons, yes.
So what did the kids do between lessons? I mean, do you just sit there, and, or do you do something else? You read, or you can't go outside and
No. We had 2 recesses, 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the afternoon. We had an hour for noon. And what did the students do? Well, it depended on how strict the teacher was. They did nothing if you had a very strict teacher. They read their lesson and they stayed in their seat and they didn't throw paper wads and they didn't write notes. They kept themselves occupied. So,
could you get ahead, pass grades?
Yes. Okay. Yes, you could. I started the school when I was 5 and a half, and I was the only one in primary that year, and the teacher saw that I learned to read very quickly, and so she shoved me through primary in the first half of first grade so I could join 5 other students that were in first grade for the second semester.
And it probably worked the other way. Students that weren't quite so fast could work slower.
Yeah. That was one of the advantages of country schools. You didn't have to keep every kid in every grade. You could, you know, work with their abilities if they were really good at arithmetic. You could let them go on to the next grade. And so it was much more flexible.
Sounds like maybe we need college country schools, too, where you can get through
right.
at your own
right.
pace.
Well, they are doing some of that today. Mm-hmm. But not in too many schools.
So when was the first country school, the first school? Do we know when that was?
In Marion County?
Yeah.
Well, the first half of Marion County was open for settlement in May in 1843. And in the neighborhood where I grew up, this is one of the first neighborhoods in the county. And I can't find exactly what date they started a school, but I would say within 2 years after, probably about 1845,
wouldn't it be fun to be able to talk to a graduate from that school?
Yes, it would.
Wow, things have changed a lot since then. Do we know when the last country school closed?
Well, I think it was about 1864 when the last one in Marion County closed, but I'd have to look in my records and see.
1964.
Did I say 1864?
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Helen Borchi, author of When One Room Fit All, The Country Schools of Marion County, Iowa. So there's still a whole lot of people around that went to country schools.
There are quite a few people around. But after I started writing the book, several of the people that I interviewed are already deceased. So, you know, there aren't going to be that many people around for very long.
So people that graduated from the last graduating class in 64 are in their mid-60s now.
Well, you do the math.
Okay. All right. So there's still a lot around, but we're losing now.
We are.
And so that's one of the reasons you decided to do your project.
Yes, it is.
And so what's the basic structure? Do you do the same thing for every school? Do we, you know, what the curriculum was like, who the teacher was, here's a picture of the students. What did you do?
Well, the only thing that I did the same for every school was to find the location of it and where it would be today on today's roads and the names of the teachers. But other than that, it's whatever I could find out about the school. I went through all of those old newspapers. Starting about 1860, there are newspapers in the genealogy room at the Knoxville Library, and so I went through all those records, and I found a lot of mentions of different country schools because each little individual neighborhood had a column, you know, remember about the Cordova News, mm-hmm. that kind of a column, and so there was a news for the Highland column and a news for the Coloma area, and so I went through all of those, and they would say, oh, we had a debate at the school on Saturday night and give you the question, debate question. Then that was an event for neighborhood people to come in, and it was a way of learning about things that were happening in the country, what the issues were.
So people would debate or the kids would debate?
No, it would be people usually. It would usually be adults that would debate the question, and then the whole neighborhood would go and listen to that. Or it would say, our teacher had a wonderful Christmas program, and the board has decided that we are going to hire her for another semester. And that's where I got the names of a lot of the teachers that were not in the official records. The official records don't begin until about 1895, and so the teachers that are listed from prior to that are from those newspaper articles.
And so are there still any teachers around?
Not very many. I have talked to some of the teachers, but most of them are not living anymore.
What's your favorite story?
Well, I don't know if we want to put this on the radio. My favorite story, I think, is one that I first heard when I was working over in the museum, and two sisters came in. They were from another state, and they said, do you have any information about our school? And I said, well, yes, I do. And they said, well, we have a story to tell you. And these women were both in country school. I think it was the Blaine School, if I remember correctly. But anyway, in country school, we had an outhouse, two outhouses, one for each sex. And one of the girls, the little one, had held up her hand and asked if she could go to the outhouse. And so she went, and she was gone for quite a while. And so the teacher said to her sister, older sister, you better go out and see if she needs some help. And so the sister went out to the outhouse, and she wasn't there. And so then the teacher thought, well, we have to find this child. And so she sent the kids out into the surrounding fields. And so they scoured the fields to see, you know, if this girl, little girl, was hiding somewhere or doing something or gotten lost or whatever. And nobody could find her. And so then the teacher got really alarmed, and she thought actually the child might have fallen through the little hole in the outhouse. And so she took a pole and probed it to make sure that she wasn't down there. And then, since they couldn't find her, they went to her house, and she was at home because she'd wet her pants before she got to the outhouse.
Well, that's a better ending to this than I thought you were going to lead us to.
Yeah, I don't think if she'd been down there, I would have told you the story.
So she was okay.
She was fine, but she just failed to tell anybody that she was going to go home.
And this was still part of this family's memory.
Oh, yes. And they didn't hesitate to tell me about it, and I have it in the book.
Well, we've got some special events coming up for you where people can purchase your book, don't we?
Yes. The first one will be October 14 at the Marion County Historical Society, and this is in conjunction with a used book sale, and there will be refreshments from 1 to 4 on Sunday afternoon. And then the second one is at the Next Chapter, and that is Thursday, October 18, and that'll be starting at 2 o'clock with a tea.
With a tea?
Yes.
Well, that's nice. Well, that's very nice.
Yes.
Well, very good. And then they can get your book at either one of those events.
Right.
And it's on sale at the Next Chapter.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And you'll autograph them, I presume.
I certainly will.
Thanks to Helen Borchi for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.